The front page story today in the Herald Sun reads, like the Russian mafia, in reference to the Hawthorn Football Club, which is at the centre of these allegations, which were aimed around 2010 to 2016. Now, I'm just going to read you a press release, Macca, which has just literally come through, and it's a statement from the AFL's Coaches Association CEO, Alistair Nicholson. And this is what it reads. The AFL Coaches Association is urging the AFL to expedite the investigation into historical interactions between former Hawthorn Football Club coaches and Indigenous players to ensure the coaching figures at the centre of the claims are afforded natural justice, given the ongoing media coverage of the issue. Coaches named in the Hawthorn Football Club report were not interviewed or provided with an opportunity to respond to the allegations made before it was handed to the club and AFL. They still have not had an opportunity to respond in full to the claims made in the report, which has now been provided to two major media outlets. The allegations are confronting and warrant proper examination. Our thoughts are with the players and their families who have shared their stories, as well as other First Nations people who have been directly or indirectly affected by the publicity around the report. But the seriousness of the allegations does not obviate the need for a fair hearing for the coaches who have strenuously denied the claims made in the report. The AFL-CA is continuing to offer both coaches our support with a focus on their personal well-being. So, Macca, that's the response from the Coaches Association. And we mentioned it yesterday. It's quite a messy situation that everyone involved finds themselves in right now, but it's probably only going to continue to get messier.
It is, Matt. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And while we all want fast and proper examination of, you know, and conclusion that we can get to, I don't think that's what we're going to get. This is going to take a long, long time. And Gillon McLachlan has agreed that he will stay on at the AFL until this is seen through to a conclusion, which could be as late as early next year. There's, you know, there's some school of thought that potentially even these coaches may not be back in the roles by round one next year if it's not cleaned up in the sense of finding out what exactly happened. These allegations are incredibly serious. We know that both coaches and also Jason Burt, who was there at the time, that they are, you know, denying any of the allegations, but they are so serious. This is going to be a watch this space for a number of months. I think we'd love a conclusion. I think everyone associated would love some sort of conclusion that we could get to as quickly as possible. But, Matt, this is going to roll on. The Herald Sun, obviously, detailing this morning, you know, some of the transcripts of the Hawthorn report. So it's disturbing reading in a sense, but we know that both coaches have basically said that, you know, we refute these allegations. So it's going to be a messy, messy time in footy, which is so disappointing for everyone involved, isn't it?
So what happens here then, Macca? Because I've heard Mark Stevens discussing this morning, and his view was that it's unlikely that these coaches, Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan, will actually be coaching their football clubs come round one of next season. Obviously, if the investigation is ongoing, then that's a possibility. If you're thinking about this from a North Melbourne perspective, they are in a really bad place in terms of where they're at with their list, and they've been struggling on the field for a number of years. So is it possible that they are without their senior coach at the start of next year? It's quite unfathomable.
It is, and like we've never been in a situation like this before, have we? These are some of the most serious allegations ever levelled. And as we say, we don't know the extent of where this is going to go. And Boomer Harvey made a really good point last week on The Breakfast Club when he mentioned that, you know, there are already two coaches down North Melbourne, leaving aside that Alistair Clarkson won't start now on November 1. So they are really stretched for numbers when the players start to filter back in a month or so's time. It's going to be a really, they're going to have to look at scenarios North Melbourne as a Brisbane to see what actually happens. Because I don't think, while we would all love, you know, a swift resolution to this, and I think the game needs that, these are such serious allegations that we need to, the AFL as an organisation need to see this through. And that could be to early next year. And so there's going to have to be some contingency plans in place for both North Melbourne and Brisbane at the moment.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think you're right. These contingency plans are going to need to be put into place pretty soon, especially when you consider that the off-season in terms of recruiting players is quickly approaching. Macca, obviously a lot of these conversations have already been had and are being had right now. So for North Melbourne and the Brisbane Lions. And for Brisbane's perspective, they're expected to pick up Josh Dunkley, and he'll go to the best and fairest tonight for the Western Bulldogs, but he's announced he wants to go to the Lions. So there's so many layers to this story, and you know the recruitment side of things is just another one.
It is, and you look at that. I was at the club spring launch yesterday, and Josh Dunkley was there talking about, you know, the situation, and it wasn't dependent on, you know, Chris Fagan, and he was confident that Chris Fagan would coach the Brisbane Lions next year. And good on him for going to the best and fairest tonight. Steve-O mentioned that this morning, and that is, you know, I think that's a great thing that he's actually doing, because he's a huge chance of winning it. He'd probably be the favourite, Matt, at this stage. But also Jack Gunston, part of the reason why he is considering a move from Hawthorn to Brisbane is the connection that he has with Chris Fagan. So that is another layer upon, as you said, this recruiting scenario around these particular clubs at the moment. We know that free agency kicks off on Friday, so we're expecting he hasn't made a decision, Jack Gunston. The fact that he hasn't made it, Matt, says to me that he is leaning towards going. So that's going to be absolutely fascinating to see. So many things going on in footy at the moment, isn't there?
It certainly is. You were at the tab lunch yesterday, Macca. I must be another one of the RSN invitees that was left off the list, unfortunately. But how was it? Did you actually get a hold of Jack to have a chat to him?
Yeah, he was certainly up there. I'm sure your invitation was there, Matty. I don't know what actually happened there. I'll look into that one. No, Jack was well and truly saying that he's got a great interest in horse racing as well, Jack. So it was pretty well suited there. He's certainly got that. But he was sort of suggesting that, you know, most of his negotiations and chats have been with Chris Fagan, so and that he has full faith in what's going on. And that Hawthorn feel that's up there, you know, and the way that, you know, Luke Hodge has done it and Grant Birchall has done it as well and joined that particular club, that is certainly a factor in his mind. So I think we'll find out probably as early as Friday, because that's when free agency starts. So it's amazing all these list decisions going on at the moment. The grand final happens, Geelong wins. And we'll probably, not probably, we will have an announcement on Joel Selwood later today as well.
Yeah, that's right. 1 o'clock this afternoon, a press conference of Geelong's, which most people are expecting, will be the announcement of Joel Selwood, who will most likely retire. And there was actually a text that came through from Turf. It said, good morning, guys. With all due respect to Selwood and Ablett Jr., I believe Ablett Sr. is the best modern-day Geelong player we've seen. Understandably play different positions, but only select few forwards could accomplish his standard and value to the team even more. So we had a discussion about this just 15 minutes ago, Michael Felgate and myself, Macca, around who would be the greatest Geelong player. He would be certainly in the conversation, Joel Selwood.
He's got to be in the conversation, and Gary Ablett does too. I know Gary Ablett won one of his Brownlow medals away from the club. He's certainly the best captain. This is going to sound, you know, strange, but he's certainly the best captain I can remember. Like, Luke Hodge was an outstanding captain, and Stephen Kernahan. And this year, when he passed Stephen Kernahan's, you know, AFL captaincy record, Joel Selwood, you know, Kernahan was actually talking about it, and he said he's as good a captain as I've ever seen. And what a way to go out, Matty, to be able to do what he's done. I think, and we had this discussion on Monday with Scott Gullen and Mick McGowan, that I think he's now got himself, he was always going to be an AFL Hall of Famer, don't worry, sorry, an Australian Football Hall of Famer, don't worry about that. But I think he's got himself almost into legendary status now, as Gary Ablett Senior will be one day, as Gary Ablett Junior will be one day. Four flags, you know, the three best and fairest, 40 finals, extraordinary. And of those 40 finals, 22 wins, which is as many as St Kilda's had in their club's history. So, and what he did on the weekend, I think if anyone, I can never understand anyone who ever booed Joel Selwood anyway, the way he played the game. But what he did on the weekend that he didn't have to do, the Levi Ablett moment will go down in grand final and in football folklore history. What he did with Sam Morfitt after the game as well, and what he did with little Archie, the odds kicker of the year, to hand over those boots. This is an extraordinary human being who's changed the football club. So I don't know that many people have changed a club as in the way that Joel Selwood has changed the Geelong Football Club.
No, well said, Macca. I walked away from the grand final on Saturday quite disappointed with the way that it unfolded from a neutral perspective, but my reflections were that it was certainly Joel Selwood's day. He owned the moment. He owned just about everything from go to woe on Saturday. Yeah. And it's a fitting way for him to go out, if that's what is announced this afternoon. Macca, the big story over the last couple of days has centred around Jordan De Goey and whether or not he's going to put pen to paper at Collingwood and re-sign on a long-term deal. They've been haggling over some behavioural clauses in that contract, and it's been reported that he'd actually knocked back the offer from the Pies. Do you think he's just playing games with Collingwood to see if he can either eke out, I don't know, some more money or get these clauses cleared up? Or do you think he's legitimately considering his options of, say, potentially joining the Saints?
I think he's playing games, Matt. It's a dangerous game to play because I think Collingwood's at that point at the moment where they're thinking, well, do we really need this distraction? He's had all year to sign a deal. That was obviously it got taken off the table there for a period. He's now had an extra year thrown onto it. These behavioural clauses, which incidentally the AFL Players Association are not happy about, but Collingwood's insisting that they are industry, not AFL industry, but they are business side industry, just clauses that would be in any particular contract. So I hope he comes to a decision really quickly, Jordan, because he's got to work out what he wants to do, whether he wants to play for Collingwood or whether he wants to, you know, be in a situation where he takes off for the Saints. I think his best footy will come at Collingwood. I cannot understand, you know, what he's doing. You look at those sacrifices some of the Geelong players have actually made, both financially and other areas, to actually win that premiership on the weekend. Gee, I'm not sure that a few little behavioural clauses, which most of us would follow ordinarily, wouldn't we, in our natural life, Matt? I'm really stunned that it's got to this. And I think he's got to make a decision really, really fast now, or else Collingwood will get sick of it and they'll have to look at potentially saying, no, mate, we're not going to make any more changes to this. Collingwood deep down are confident that he will turn around and they'll work out some sort of compromise. But, yeah, it needs to happen pretty quickly now.
So you actually genuinely believe that Collingwood will draw a line in the sand and say, no, these behavioural clauses are in the best interests of our football club and also in your best interest, Jordan. And if you don't want these built into the contract, then we're happy for you to play your football elsewhere.
Well, I think there's some room for a couple of little more small negotiations there, Matt, but I don't think Collingwood will want to willy-nilly walk away and say, look, there's going to be no restrictions on you, Jordan, because that is tantamount to saying, mate, you can do whatever you want. And so I think there's a room for negotiation, but a very small window. I can tell you for a fact that Collingwood are getting a little bit tired of the issues there with Jordan Ngoi, and they want to keep him. Absolutely, they want to keep him. But they also want him to give some ground too, and I think it's time for Jordan to give some ground.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's sounding a little bit tense as well. And, well, that would be fascinating if the Pies said, no, Jordan, you can play football elsewhere. And what that would do, would the Saints lower their offer? Would other clubs be interested if that was the case? I can't see it happening, but who knows, Macca, who knows? The Jordan Ngoi saga and story is really, it's gone on ever since he entered the competition. So
it has. Hopefully he comes to his senses, Matty, and he decides that it's the best option for him to stay in black and white.
And why wouldn't you want to be staying at Collingwood right now? If he signs on the dotted line, he's just a good human being, doesn't do anything too silly, he'll be fine. And he can be a part of what looks to be a really special group and play under what looks to be a terrific coach.
I think that's it as well. Like, you look at what... I mean, Craig McRae is not an unreasonable man. He's been outstanding. He's the coach of the year for not just what he's done on the field, but how he's been able to weld this group into a, you know, really competitive force so quickly. So that, I think there is room for slight negotiation, but I don't think Collingwood want to go in willy-nilly and thinking, you know, Jordan, you just got a free hand to do whatever you want for 5 years. So I can sort of see where Collingwood's coming from. You know, they want to keep him. They will do everything possible. It's coming to a point now. Like, we're at a stage that, you know, next Monday, the trade period starts. So Collingwood need to know where they are. They're so far down the road with Brodie Grundy potentially going to Melbourne, almost certainly leaving the club. It's a really awkward scenario that they're in at the moment.
Macca, should the French racing authorities be bending their rules to allow the 11-time Group 1 winning, Melbourne Cup winning superstar from Australia, very elegant, get a run in the arc?
Oh, Matty, of course they should. What are they thinking? Rules are meant to be broken. When you've got a horse like Very Elegant, of course she's got a run in the arc. And just think about the publicity that it will receive as well. So I think it's ridiculous that she's not running. It's ridiculous that her rating can change off the back of two runs that she was always going to have over there as well. So come on, time. We've had a few issues with the French in the past sort of 12 to 18 months, Matty, and there might be more if they don't let her run.
Yeah, and you know when Matt Chapman, who the British racing commentator, who is usually bagging Australian horses and the standard of them and et cetera, you know when he's sticking up for the Aussies and saying she should be getting a run, that he might be on the money. So anyway, we'll cross our fingers and our toes, but it's not looking good for Very Elegant getting a run in the arc. Macca, appreciate your time this morning. I know it's a busy time for you and many other journos right now, heading into the trade period. Thanks for your time, and we'll catch up again soon.
Absolute pleasure, Matty. Have a good day.